So hello everybody, and hello Brad. Welcome to another episode of the MotoGP podcast, Last on the Brakes.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing? All good?
Yeah, really good.
Excited
nice
to be here.
To be in America. So yeah, can't complain.
Really, I do love it here. I feel like it's also like a nice English language world. It's just like, ah, chill times. Not as many challenges for some of us in the paddock as, you know, our colleagues usually have that upper hand with the bilingual. So, as always, we have some fan questions. We have some of my questions. We're not going to do the deep dive into childhood life because you've been on here a couple of times now.
Cool.
We're going to, you know, keep that for the fans who can dive back in the archives.
All right.
But we're going to start with some questions from Twitter.
Okay.
Should also, for commercial happiness, say Brad Binder, Red Bull KTM Factory Racing rider. Welcome, rather than just Brad.
Yeah.
So, the first fan question from Twitter is from M787B. If you weren't doing MotoGP, what would you be doing? It's a classic fan question.
Yeah.
Would you still be in motorsport? Would it be something different?
To be honest,
if you say mechanic, I'm just going to throw you off the episode.
No. The thing is, for me, I never really had a plan B, to be honest. So whenever someone asks what I would be doing, I actually don't know. Because I think all the things that I would like to be doing, I probably wouldn't have the money to do.
So,
it would be a little bit tricky. But one thing I really enjoy other than racing is like real estate stuff. So that's kind of stuff that's something that I would like to do in the future.
Interesting. Where's that come from? Is it like just you looking at houses for yourself, or that's an interesting kind of left field answer there.
Yeah, it's just something I've always liked since I was a kid, and something that I want to do in the future.
Okay, love it. So the other bit you gave us there, you never really had a plan B. I've got to ask you, I think this is a real deep dive into a random American interview from about 15 years ago. I think George Clooney, like one of the guys from the Ocean's 11 lot, it was either George Clooney or Brad Pitt, said that they think you're more likely to succeed if you don't have a plan B.
Okay.
Because then everything is in on what you're doing. Do you feel like that's accurate for you, or was it just you didn't like anything else enough?
Well, for me, this has been my dream, obviously, since I was a little boy. So, you know, I think when your family go through all these massive sacrifices and you get to the point where, you know, you're living in Europe at 13 years old, 14 years old, spending half the year here, and 16 living there full time, you know, that's the goal, that's what you want to achieve, and there's no other options at that stage. You know, everyone sacrificed so much, and for me it was super cool because you're a kid just racing. But you know,
did you also have Darren with you as well?
When I got older, I did. When Darren turned 16, he joined Rookies Cup. So then when he was doing Rookies, we stayed together. So that was, well, we stayed together up until last year. So
has he been thrown out now? It's like a marital home, or is that the cutoff point?
Dazzo lived with me all the time, but now he's got his own place. So
cool.
Unfortunately or fortunately, who knows?
I was going to say, are you having to create any oversight for that situation? I know we've talked to you both before, I think, together, and they were quite different household vibes.
Yeah,
do you go over
chill.
Just be like, can I just check that the kitchen's okay?
Nah, he's got it under control, so don't need to check up on him.
Good times. So, okay, real estate then. That is an interesting one. I don't think we've had that from you before. So the classic fan question came through. Next one is from @JacoVanDerm. Do you and Jack ever have a barbecue or braai? Am I allowed to say it with that slight twinge of braai? Are you going to allow me?
No, it sounds good. It's actually quite accurate.
And what do you have on the grill, if yes? Do we get any Red Bull KTM braai?
Actually, we have a couple times. You know, I think Jack and I, we teammates, of course, but we're
also
good mates away from the track. So, you know, there's not too many of us in Andorra that are sportsmen, and we're English, and we have the same, same idea of how things should go.
So same idea of how to barbecue.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've had a few braais, and there's not too much to it. It's a standard procedure.
You say that, but I don't think you've seen, like, an inept person who's maybe not so used to the barbecue lifestyle trying to light a barbecue.
I'm useless, I must be honest.
Really? Okay.
Super, super terrible at it.
And do you do gas barbecue, or are you like the full, like, no, we start the fire with the coal, we wait, we fan it, we get the perfect temperature, which?
Well, if I try to to Brian calls, I mess it up. I'm really good at inviting a lot of mates for Bri's and then taking my mate that I know has a good idea what he's doing and just, you know, overseeing things and
work
putting him
smart,
in charge.
Work smart, not hard.
Exactly.
You see? So you got the perfect situation.
So that's how I like to Bri.
So what do we have on the Bri if we're doing the full, you've invited the friends, you've got the master of the grill,
yeah.
Everything's going well. What are you eating?
Well, in South Africa, it's standard, you know, you get steak, chops, and I don't know, boerewors we call it, which is pretty deep, pretty
that?
Good. It's a mix of things, actually. It's like a sausage type of thing, but what goes in it exactly, I'm not too sure, and I don't think I want to know.
Sometimes it's best, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need any extra.
I'm not asking any more questions.
That's cool. Okay, so I'm not going to Google that either.
Cool.
So next one. This is now back on the racing, mm-hmm. away from the Bri. From Captain, and well, Capt _ Gizmodon, technically. What was the most memorable race that you've done? I know which one it is for me.
Memorable, I mean, geez, there's so many, like, things that really pop out along my career, you know, but I think the most recent one was in the rain in Austria, which was a little bit sketchy. I don't think I'll forget it. I probably lost a few years of my life in those three laps.
But honestly,
it worked.
Watching from, you know, in Austria, the media center, you can actually see from those windows really well who's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And like the feeling there when it's like, oh, they've all gone. No, they haven't.
Yeah.
One just like holding out in the rain. It was incredible to watch that. And also, I know you got that post-race penalty as well because you made your own track a little bit on the.
Yeah.
Didn't affect the result.
It was tricky to stay on.
But
on
you've
the line.
Got, I can. You've got some real big hitters there. You've got Jerez from the back, mm-hmm. which is your first ever win as well, right?
Yeah.
Because you had that penalty technical infringement, I think. You started from the back, so you're just mm-hmm. like, right, here we go. That was in Moto 3, Jerez 2016.
Yeah.
That was the year you won the title as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting old now.
I don't really know where to choose. That's why there's like three that come to mind.
And then Brno.
Yeah, that's it. For me, the three big ones or four that really come to mind is first Moto 3 win, which was from back of the grid. First Moto 2 win in Sachsenring. And then first MotoGP win in Brno, and then the only other one that I have in a full race distance in the wet on the slicks.
Yeah, but it's, I know, because some people say, oh, wet, dry, maybe it makes a difference. That though, that's a category by itself, that race in Austria, I feel. It was not a wet race, it was not a dry race, it was its own crazy 40 minutes of life.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got some really memorable wins then as well. That one at Brno, I feel like I don't remember anything until the podium.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that you kind of were there at the front for quite a while. So it was, again, I care about everyone watching that no one gets disappointed, hurt, embarrassed, anything. I'm like, yeah. But especially when you've got that, when it's like, oh, it's a rookie. It's a big deal for KTM as well. And it's like your third race, right? Because
yeah.
It was the year, obviously, we didn't have the race in Qatar for MotoGP either.
Sure.
Even me watching that, I was like, can't imagine on the bike, and also can't imagine your family, friends, team, and everyone watching that. What are the emotions like on the bike for you? Because you're ice cold, but did you remain ice cold?
It was so awkward, like, okay, afterwards, to be honest, because it was COVID, there was no one there. And
you had me doing the podium announcement, yeah, pretending I know what I'm doing, like a boxing announcer.
Yeah, you had like people like standing there, so you stay in your little box with your mask, and then like your team's way over there. So it was so weird, but it was so cool at the same time. Like, I remember halfway through the race, like, thinking, oh, I can probably lead this thing. So went to the front and I thought, oh, geez, you know, these guys are probably saving their tires. And I kept going, and luckily when it did drop, it was already pretty much okay because everyone dropped at the same time as me. So the gap I had, I kept, which was really cool. And yeah, I remember looking at my board on the last lap and seeing one lap to go, and I was like, geez, I'd stay up. Firstly, I'm going to cross the line. I'm going to win my first MotoGP race. And that to me was a feeling that I'll never forget. And then to actually do it was just crazy. It was so cool.
It was.
And yeah, I'm overdue another one, so better.
Yeah, no. We have faith. I mean, you've had sprint wins, Yeah. And I think last time you were on the podcast, you said you don't really mind. To you, victory is victory, whether it's the short, sharp Tissot sprint on Saturday or the Grand Prix race. But now you're like, you want that Sunday. You got another Sunday trophy now, I guess.
I mean, to me, it's racing's racing. It's all the best guys in the world going for a win, regardless whether it's a shorter distance or not. You know, you give your absolute best, everyone does. So for me, it doesn't change too much. Of course, you get more points on Sunday, so I'd prefer the Sunday one.
That's fair. So now, most memorable race, you've got some epic ones. I also now have to ask an auxiliary question, that Argentina sprint.
Yeah, that was pretty special. Quite cool.
Because that was like, you were, I mean, obviously you got a good start, but you also had to just do the work, get to the front. What was that like from on the bike?
To be honest, it was a crazy weekend where were we, Argentina. It was tough because like we didn't quite find the way yet. It was still our newer bike, like our bike that we're using now, more or less. We got the first evolution of it really at the beginning of that season, and we didn't really know how to set the thing up properly yet. we had an idea, but we hadn't got it to where it needed to be. And Saturday morning was damp and not so good. But Friday night we sat down with the guys and they had a great idea of how we had to change things, and I wasn't so sure about it, but they went and they like really changed everything on the electronic side. And the first lap of the race was the first time I got to try it, and it was so good.
How do you deal with that though? Like, can you immediately tell that much difference? Because I can ride a 125 non-proficiently. So for someone like me, or someone who really has no clue of that kind of level, can you immediately feel that difference from the setup change, even just in like a few corners?
For sure. You know, like they made a massive change, like especially on the engine braking side, because I was struggling all weekend. And then they said, okay, this is what we need to do. And I wasn't so sure about it, to be honest, but the guys did it. And after, well, on the first lap of the race, I was like, wow, this is so good. And I've managed to get past the guys, and to win from 15th on the grid was crazy. It was so good. But I think I went into turn one in like fourth or fifth.
So it was clearly you nailed it early.
Yeah, it was the best start I've ever had in my life, for sure.
Yeah, that was one of those when you're waiting for, you know, on the timing screens, when it comes up with the no jump starts, you're waiting like, no one wants a jump start driver for anyone, but especially when someone's done like an absolute blinder.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, please let this not be a heartbreaker. But no, it was not. And then on Sunday you had bad luck with did the hole shot device get stuck on? There was something, was there some drama for you in Argentina?
Yeah,
or did you get hit?
Nothing mechanically or anything like that.
Okay, I had
a start in the wet, not a start like Saturday, had a decent enough start. And at the end of the back straight, just when I was turning in, me and Maverick had the tiniest of touches. And unfortunately, in the wet of the tires, just not really up yet, it just went, and that was it.
Yeah.
So quick high and a quick low.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure we'll see more highs now.
Sure.
We're gonna go on to the Instagram questions now. And we're gonna go back away from the riding to a topic where before you have said the least possible whenever we've asked you anything. So I'm interested to see if you can even name three.
All right.
From Namjoon_kid, what's one of your top three artists right now?
Top three.
I imagine this is going to mean music, and I don't expect you to be like, oh, I love Dali and Monet, man. Like, I think it means music.
Honestly, it's hard to say. Like, I go through, I don't know, I kind of don't want to call it mood swings, because it's not mood swings, but it depends on the day. I don't know. I barely listen to music, to be really
This is why
honest.
I said before, you've been like, no, I don't really listen. Like, when it's like, oh, what's your pre-race song? You've been like, no.
Like, even when I sit in my car, like when I go to drive somewhere, it doesn't matter if it's a 10-hour drive, I want complete silence.
This is what's like, it's like borderline psychotic, but in the best way, when it's like everyone's so different, everyone has their little kooky thing. That just imagining you in the car, just sat there.
Honestly, if I have time to chill, I prefer to be in my own head. And
do you just let just things
think about things and work things out, whatever you don't like, what you do like, I don't know, whatever issues you have, try and solve them.
Do you think that's maybe a little bit of a secret to your Zen?
I like to be chill, like especially before races. Like I like to sit on my own and just do my same warm up, my same story, same thing every time, and that's how I know I'm ready to go. So
it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I find the most peace when things are super chill.
You also seem to value, like, you like the peace. Like the peace is where the magic comes from, rather than like being fired up, right? Like I feel like it's quite a difference between Jack with his epic like pre-race little kind of.
I think on track I'm a little bit over the top at times already. So if I get fired up, as you said, and go out and I seem to do stupid things, or things that are too over the limit.
I can think of the one race where you really were like, just boof, boof.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh. So, like, but it's rare. It's rare.
Honestly, like for me, I have to stay calm, because as soon as I get a little bit like worked up, I do things that I shouldn't. Like when I see red, you know, sometimes I see red and I make a complete chaos. And it's something I've done before, and I've done it a couple times, and I know, now I know better, but sometimes you can't.
I feel like you do a really good job though of like walking that line.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, watching from like a more neutral kind of fan perspective, there's some people where you're like, oh, I hope he goes for the move. Oh, I hope the move is clean. You have that vibe. With you, it's not like, oh, I hope it's clean, or oh, I hope he goes for it. It's like, I know it's gonna come, I know it's gonna be brutal, but I'm also confident it's probably not gonna be over the line.
Yeah, I try to keep it, within reason, of course. But it's racing at the end of the day.
I mean, I guess it depends where everyone's line is.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, sorry. I mean, what can you do?
Iconic quote. Just put that every time. If there's any an incident, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, sorry. What can you do?
Yeah, that's it. Racing.
No, we do love the chillness. And you, especially at racing, you just love racing, don't you? Yeah.
I do. Honestly, like in a race weekend, I love more races. Like, I know lots of people aren't stoked.
Everyone's like, oh no, we don't want the sprint. Yeah. You're like, can we have 7 sprints every Friday?
Lots of people are not so keen on having sprints every weekend. But for me, I love going out and working on the bike, getting things better, like in testing and stuff. But when over a race weekend, I can't wait to get actually racing. That's what I enjoy. I don't really enjoy spinning laps just because you can. I prefer to be fighting with other guys, and that's what I enjoy. So
we love that. So Brad Binder votes for extra sprint.
Yeah.
Or anything.
I think we
else.
Should have 3 a weekend.
Three sprints or 3 lights out showdowns?
It doesn't matter. But honestly, I think all my competition in MotoGP would kill me for saying that.
Well, this is the thing. I remember, I think it was a tweet from Loris Baz when the sprint first got kind of announced on the MotoGP side, and he was like, nah, some of you guys are gonna love this.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of people like you, probably like Mark, people who are really like getting their elbows out, just seem to love that kind of competition itself. But I'll stop telling you what you think about it since you've already told us. So next one is another classic fan question for you. From Andrea_J8. Which South African racetrack would you love on the MotoGP calendar? You're going to help me to pronounce Fakisa? Fakisa?
Fakisa.
There we go. So, I was like, there's a real risk here. So I'm going to stay very far.
No.
Or Kyalami is obviously
so,
the one.
Of course, we had Fakisa, MotoGP at Fakisa in 2003 and 2004, I think are the last 2 times that I remember. It was probably there before that too. But since then we haven't had MotoGP in South Africa. And nowadays there's only one track that we can really do it at, and it's capable of doing it 100%, and that's Kyalami.
You've ridden around there, right?
Yeah.
You've done some events with KTM, Red Bull.
Yeah, I'm really, really fortunate that the owner of the track, he helps me out when I'm at home, and
so it's even VIP spinning laps at Kyalami.
No, I'm cool. Really spoiled, I must say, that when they're not busy or they have the track it's not in use, they allow me to come and train there. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What would little so Brad good. Binder say about that? Because I imagine you've seen races there, and now it's like, yeah, man, come on over. Feel free.
You know, like when we were kids racing in South Africa, we would race a lot at the smaller tracks, but we would probably go to Kyalami once a year.
And that's like the big day.
So that was awesome. Yeah. It was so good to go to like a big track like that. That's so sick. And I think in my career now, there's so many things that I do that I look back and I think that's insane. Like as a kid, I could only dream of this. So it's yeah, sometimes you kind of get a bit ahead of yourself and you forget about all these small things, but not small things, you forget about the details and then you realize, wow, things have changed a lot and it's so cool.
It's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah.
Like, especially because like you said, it's like a real all-in when you're from South Africa or somewhere that's not necessarily got the easiest immediate path to take to get to where you are now.
Sure.
It's pretty cool. So yeah, private Kyle Army Lab sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's very
so
cool.
So is that your choice then?
100%.
Okay,
cool. I mean, I think, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we go there in the next 2-3 years.
In the next 2-3 years?
I hope so.
I cannot make any official statement in return to that, but...
I have no idea, to be honest, but I know that it's possible.
You're just constantly banging on the door to the offices like, guys, have you thought about Kyle Army?
I'm sure if everything falls into place, it can happen. So I'd love it to happen. And I could never imagine sleeping in my own bed at home and going to a MotoGP race.
This is the thing, right?
It would be pretty sick.
It's something pretty different for you, like I say, when you're from somewhere a little bit further away from the calendar and where you've raced on the way up. That would be quite cool, I can imagine.
Exactly.
Okay, final fan question for you. From Marjorie Champy. I've probably ruined everyone's username and my pronunciations. Who is your favorite actor? So we're back completely away from racing.
Favorite actor, I don't really know, but I read that Matthew McConaughey book, Green Lights, and his story is crazy,
that?
And that was super cool.
I really, really hold him back from doing the all right, because
yeah.
I don't know if I can fully pull it off in a public forum.
Yeah.
But okay, good choice.
So, yeah,
they had some cool Longhorn stuff in the store when we went to the stadium yesterday with the all right on it. I was
really?
Oh, I need to just bring that Texas. Yeah, okay, Matthew McConaughey then, literally. So that is the end of the fan questions,
cool.
At least. And you can see on your screen, for those of us watching, those of us have the pleasure of seeing Brad in the flesh. You can come to MotoGP Premier, join us on track, ... literally. What do we think of that? Do we think that's an okay claim? Trying to bring them more spice, literally join us on track.
Yeah.
It's good?
Yeah, I reckon.
I'm like just asking you, just give me a review there, because
yeah,
I'm trying to spice it up.
I think you nailed it.
Premier, obviously, we know you love the racing. We know you don't love the media and the promo life. I'm trying to keep the vibes up here for you.
Okay.
But I'm sure you do love meeting fans in a situation like that. And things like the Hero Walk and those things we've brought in, like Premier now, there's some super exclusive stuff. VIP Village, you have some times where we kidnap you and take you there and you do a little Q&A for the fans. And then Hero Walk with autographs and everything else.
Yeah.
How is that for you? Obviously, you've got three different things, haven't you? Face-to-face fun time, which I imagine is fun, because
yep.
Everyone will love you. The plain media stuff, where I can imagine, like, leave me alone. And then the racing.
Yeah, I think for us, it's super cool that, you know, in the last, what is it, two seasons now, that, you know, things changed when the sprints came, didn't they?
So I think it's only last year. Yeah, it feels like it's been longer.
Yeah, it does. But I think the way the guys that run MotoGP have changed things up is super cool. You know, it's so much more interactive with all the fans, and you know, it is really cool to see the guys face to face and see the amount of support you have. And yeah, for me, it's super cool. Of course, we really busy over race weekends, so sometimes it's tricky to do it all. But when we do put it all in and it's really cool.
And what about the parade? The parade can be quite funny with all of you on the little bus going round.
Yeah, the parade, but to be honest, at the beginning I wasn't so sure about it.
I feel like you're not a parade guy, like
I'm not really the guy that goes around on the back of a trailer waving, but yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's funny, like it's cool to actually just have all the riders together and you almost
all seem to use it to chat amongst yourselves. It's like, guys, turn around and wave.
Yeah,
like.
For sure. I think we do more chatting than waving, but we need to work on that one.
Maybe, but you don't need to work on much though. It's going well so far. There's final couple of questions now, because cool. It was nice chatting through the fan questions without being like quiz, boom, 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 boom.
Sure.
But, so second in the championship, probably a little bit more of a gap than you'd want. Just a little bit more. So you can't overtake Jorge on Saturday. for sure. Sorry for those of you who are listening to this episode slightly delayed. You're going to know now the future.
Yeah.
But it's going pretty well so far this year. Like you said last year when you won the sprint in Argentina, you were still kind of finding the way now. This year, from testing onwards, it seems like you're in that zone. Immediately in Qatar, stunning. Beat both Pecco and Jorge on different days. Quite a nice statement after the end of last season, I'd say. How are we feeling now?
Yeah, for sure. Qatar was really good. I mean, to walk away there with 2 seconds was great. We had our challenges in the test there and stuff, but we got much faster for the race weekend, so it worked out perfectly. From there we went to Portimao, and I had a much more difficult weekend than I anticipated. Honestly, I thought it would be much stronger, but I just never felt comfortable all weekend. Something didn't quite gel. And I ended up crashing twice, which I don't do too often. And in the main race, when I was trying to push, I kept having moments. And I knew it was really important that I had to finish races, because I'd already crashed out on the Saturday. And the way I was going on Sunday, I felt like I was on the verge of doing the same. So I really had to try and calm down and really ride to where I felt comfortable. Not comfortable, but just know that I'm not over the limit, because I felt like in Portimao, every time I tried to go, or I felt like I could go quite fast over one lap, but I just feel so on the limit. So it was a tricky weekend for me. We had a couple of them last season, and just going to another track just changed things. So I'm kind of hoping it's the same here. Well, not kind of hoping, I know it will be. And yeah, this is an insane track. I mean, Kota is crazy. The amount of change of directions here is insane. And it's going to be so much fun. So I'm looking forward to getting started again.
I feel like that was the perfect little bookend speech there. I'm not going to interrogate you any further. Perfect segue into the weekend ahead for those who are watching live or listening very soon after it's come out. Thank you so much for joining us, Brad. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, have a great weekend here at the Red Bull Grand Prix of the Americas. And maybe, we'll see if we can pull you back on later in the season, but I'm sure you'll try and avoid it.
I thought you said it was one and done.
I know, right? You're done now. But no, thank you very much, Brad.
All good. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having me on the show.